The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be. Last time I spoke, I mentioned that even though we live in one of the world's most blessed countries in the world, we are constantly facing the urge to grumble and complain. Have you ever thought about where this mindset of ingratitude comes from? This is important to understand before one can overcome this problem. The Bible records the experiences of another nation, the ancient nation of Israel, who also constantly complained and murmured. No matter what God did for them, it was never enough. After 430 years of slavery to the Egyptians, the Israelites, through a miracle from God, they were released from bondage. As they left Egypt, God allowed them to collect riches, cattle, food, gold, jewels, and supplies. God performed many miracles as they traveled through the wilderness. He selected them as His people, promising to take them to a land filled with milk and honey. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, we read what God told ancient Israel. "So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey." But this was not enough for them. Upon approaching the promised land, the Israelites were instructed by God to send spies to survey the land. It was located between other nations that were enemies of Israel. After 40 days of spying the land, they returned. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 26, we read, "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran. At Kadesh they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land." Verse 27, "Then they told them and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large.'" Caleb, one of the spies, asked Moses for permission to take the land. But the other spies, except for Joshua, lied to the people, claiming that it was infested with strong, powerful giants. Notice the reaction of the crowd, and I'll drop down a couple of more verses to Numbers 14, beginning in verse 1. And I read, "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people there wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, and if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not have been better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and to return to Egypt.'" Israel was so blatantly ungrateful and unappreciative for all that God had done for them that they wanted to go back to Egypt, where they had undergone many hundreds of years of brutal slavery. They did not appreciate the astounding blessings that God provided for them or the many powerful miracles He had performed for them. Think for a moment. If you were God, how would you feel? Well, dropping down to verse 11, we read, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed for them? I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them.' Moses, though, reasoned with God and convinced him to change his mind." Dropping down to verse 20, we read, "Then the Lord said, 'I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who reject me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it.' Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in this valley Tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who will be numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I will make you to dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness for 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days. For each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all the evil congregation who are gathered against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Continuing in verse 36, Now the man whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of the man who sent out to spy the land. Then Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Now notice verse 40. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, Here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. God called the Israelites an evil congregation for their sinful ingratitude. To God, an ungrateful attitude is sin, evil, which provokes him to anger. Although God did not strike Israel with pestilence at that time or disinherit them, he did cause them to wander in the wilderness for 40 additional years. Until those that demonstrated this evil, he did cause them to wander in the wilderness for 40 additional years. Until those that demonstrated this attitude died. Their murmurings and unthankful attitude condemned them from ever seeing the promised land. Notice the attitude of ingratitude even in Christ's day. In Luke 17, beginning in verse 11, we read, Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village, where he met 10 men who were lepers, and stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down at his face and his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. The Apostle Paul reminded us that this ever-increasing attitude of unthankfulness in society is a sign that we are near the end. If you'd like to turn with me, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, and we read what Paul says, But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, holy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And it says in verse 5, But from such people turn away. You can never express genuine appreciation to others and to God too much and too often. You should be telling God and others throughout the day what you appreciate He and others have done for you. Many people fear thanking others. They somehow fall into the mentality that they are now in debt or owe something to others. Increasingly, I notice when either at a checkout stand in a store or at a restaurant, I am not thanked for giving them my business. And after paying for something, after either being given a receipt, when I say thank you or thank you very much, instead of the response, you are welcome or you're welcome, I am told simply, uh-huh, or okay, or no problem. Let's not be lazy. Learn how to graciously accept compliments and praise and thanks from others. All too often we tend to brush aside the kind words of others, either because we are embarrassed, we don't feel worthy, or we simply don't know how to handle it. The worst way to handle compliments is to brush them aside with a casual, it's nothing, or, oh, I don't really deserve it, or, you shouldn't have, or, that's okay, it's just my job. These words take away the belief and esteem of the person extending the compliment. When individuals offer thanks and praise, it is their gift to give, not yours to decline or to refuse. Some individuals rarely accept thanks or compliments. Have you noticed? For example, you might compliment someone on their dress. Instead of accepting the gift of your compliment, they respond by saying, "No, really, I got this outfit from a used clothing store last week." Or you might say, "Thank you. You really did a good job on that." Instead of hearing, "You are welcome. I appreciate that," you get back, "Well, it's not really that good. I could have done a lot better." I think you get the picture. When others want to give you something and you do not accept it, you are denying them a blessing for God. God tells us it is more blessed to give than to receive. Christ was willing to give us the incredible gift of eternal life. We had to acknowledge that we sinned. Whether it is the gift of someone willing to open a door for you, a compliment, or a thank you of appreciation, accept it with gratitude and humility. You will have your own opportunity to give later. We should always honor the opinions of others, and when we receive compliments, respond in a way that shows we appreciate the kindness and thoughts that went into it. The easiest way to respond to a compliment is with a simple thank you and a smile. If the situation requires it, a few additional words may be added. For example, "Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it." Or, "Thank you. I had a lot of help from others in reaching this milestone." Or you could say, "Thank you. I'm honored by your words." Or, "Thank you. Your words mean a lot to me." Or, "Thank you, that's very kind," or, "Thank you, simply, I appreciate it." Stop and think about it. When either you do not express genuine appreciation to God and others on a continual, daily basis, you are snubbing your very Creator and all that He has done for you. The Apostle Paul tells us, beginning in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them." I see my time is about up. If you'd like some additional information, I invite you to write in for two booklets, Growing in Knowledge and Helping Them Grow. All you have to do to receive these booklets is to call us at the Marble Hill Church of God at 573-238-3675. And request those free booklets, and call us again at 573-238-3675. You may also order these or any other booklets or listen to previous broadcasts from our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and The Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day. Located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill. Meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri, 63764.